भक्तवृंद की ऑल ग्लोरी टू ग्लोरी टू समीर होती ऑल ग्लोरी टू ग्लोरी टू समीर होती ऑल ग्लोरी टू ग्लोरी टू श्री गुरु एंड श्री गुरुंग सो मदर दामयंती मे बी यू कैन एक्सप्लेन व्हाट्स हैपनिंग हियर. Hello, the microphone. We seem to have a few guests.
Hare Krishna. I teach some
fountain.
Of the children.
Turn off the fountain. Just keep it. You turn it on later.
I teach some of the children here at Kirtanagar. They come to my home. And Akinchana is one of my students, and he's turning 5 years old today. And so this is a samskar. So we're going to write Hare Krishna in Sanskrit with turmeric. I'm going to help them write Hare Krishna. And it's a traditional thing. When children are five, that's when they traditionally in Vedic culture would go to live with their teacher. And he lives with his parents. He just comes. So In my school, we have in the morning we have a prayer, and then I read from Prabhupada's book something or Krishna book, you know, something, and I emphasize, you know, the holy name. We chant Hare Krishna, and so this is the holy name is like so important. I want that to be part of their education, and so this writing Hare Krishna is for. It represents, you know, how important the holy name is, and as far as education, and it's like the most important thing, right?
Take your mic. Sure. I can learn from so many sources, because the initial source is the parents. The teacher and the people in the community were also to constantly share their love, their guidance, their wisdom, and most important, to offer protection. Because in spiritual culture, even though a child has, of course, a biological parent, is that in healthy communities, everyone offers something. Special is like extended family. And of course, one of the most important agents is the teacher, who is given direct instructions about education, character, and spirituality to help that particular soul in his or her material, psychological, and most important spiritual journey. So she was helping him to write the Hare Krishna mantra. As we know, so much of school is reading and writing, processing information, knowledge, and wisdom. And with trying to learn these things, there's always a necessity to have competent and caring guides. So she has just helped them in this way. Okay? Mm-hmm. Japa or chant, you sing? Okay. Namaha Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Utale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Krishiname Namaha Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasaya Bhutale Imate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Krishiname Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Prasarine Nirvasesha Sunyavani
Vachacharizakanye Namaste Saraswati Deve Garvani Pacharine Yavaseta Kundvani Vachacharizakanye Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sridhareta Swaradha Sivasadhi Sobhakta Vrinda Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Eta Radha Sivasadhi Sobhakta Vrinda Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sridhareta Radha Sivasadhi Sobhakta Vrinda Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sridhareta Radha Sivasadhi Sobhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Jai Prabhupada 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 Srila Prabhupada Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Prabhupada. Hare Taika Kriba, Hare Ba, Hare Ba, Hare Taika Kriba. Jai Siti Varha Damodara Ki, Siti Varha Kalachandri Ki, Goni Tai Ki. Kinchanadaski.
This is a very interesting time of the year, as we're about to enter into, of course, a new year. And it gives us a chance to try to reflect on our life, on our past, and try to plan for the future. As we look around the community, we see that there's a few devotees who are expecting or we'll be bringing new members into the community. We've just had a short time ago, Rohini has delivered. Is it a boy or a girl? It's a girl. What's her name? Gopi Gita. Great. She had a distance for the first time. She's, what is her age?
2.5 weeks.
Okay, 2.5 weeks. This is first day in the temple. Oh, wonderful. Second. And sitting up here, we're going to have another member in the community in about how many months? Was it weeks? 7 months. So in a short time, we'll have another child in the community. Anyone else? Any other? Also? Oh. How many months?
About
3 months. Okay. Any other surprises around? And of course, Anandavir will be a father soon. How many months? 3 more months. Okay. Yeah, let's see. I think we covered. And of course, in a few days, Ganga Prema and Shaligram will be getting married, and they'll start making their plans. So, plus this time of the year, we have a chance to think of a very special son, Shakta Vaishyavatar, the Son of God, Lord Jesus. And we think about family, just as it's nice that Samachuta's family is here. Actually, mother and father are both, and sister. Sister is as well as mother and father. It's a nice time for family members to be together during these seasonal times. And of course, for us, it becomes a time to remind us what we're to always to be about. This is some time ago, I was doing a TV program, actually some years now, in Nigeria, the national TV program. And it was around holiday time. But it was really set up by the host to be more of an argumentative kind of experience, a debate. Religious leaders of different traditions. And at first we were speaking about Christmas, and then there was discussion about what day actually is the day for worship. And of course, there was mention that Friday was the best day, and there were explanations about that, based on the Islamic faith. And then there was discussions that Sabbath, Saturday, is the most important time to worship. And of course then there was arguments about Sunday. And I mentioned in the Vrindavan about this. And I was last to speak, and of course I was very happy to see the enthusiasm that the leaders were having about focusing on trying to think more about the service of God and the service of humanity. But of course we shared that as Vaishnavas, for us every day is a day to worship. We may have particular days that we come together as congregation, Namahata, Bhakti Riksha, Bhagavad Gita classes in the evenings, many places every day, some places once or twice, two or three times a week. And of course we have our Sunday programs. But even those who do not come during the week or even during the Sunday, still it is upon them to worship every day. And of course many devotees have their duties at their homes, and so they are doing a simultaneous worship of coming into association in the temple, as well as of course doing their regular puja every day at their home. Because every day we should recognize that it's a day that belongs to Krishna. Now we think, you know, how everyone likes to have a special child, son or daughter, but we're talking about sons right now. So, for instance, someone, you know, is excited, just as we mentioned about some of our devotees who will be having children, so they have to also begin to think more. Have a child, son or daughter, and how to be ready to receive such a child, and what will be the talents of that individual, and what will be the challenges, and will my child remain loyal, you know, to spiritual association? Will my child take up the things that are dear to myself and my husband? And to what degree would that child be happy about what the parents are trying to arrange? And of course, it's rather awesome because obviously no one should force their children to be anything. But at the same time, if there's not loving guidance, there's not some boundaries that are established, then it's a lack of sign of caring. It's a lack of sign of, you know, being a healthy parent. The parents have a duty to offer the very best of what they have. They have a duty to try to address the physical, intellectual, emotional, and spiritual needs of their children. And so does the community have responsibility as best as it can as well. But it's always a mystery and an adventure about what actually will be the lifestyle of the child. Regardless to even what the initial foundation is. Just like some parents would think, oh, how wonderful it would be if my child could be the president of the country. But then the same parents would think, that would be nice, but I don't like the idea of my child being a politician, because there's a lot of difficult things that come along with that. Or someone would think that I would really love my child to be a doctor. Some of you who will be bringing children to the world soon, or parenting, you have these different kinds of thoughts. But then you realize that, well, that's a very difficult profession. We're discussing in Detroit how it's a very challenging profession, because doctors live a lifespan 10 years shorter than, you know, average professionals. And they're finding that they're catching so many different types of diseases because they're working around disease all the time. So somebody would be excited, oh yes, let my child to be a doctor, but there's also a downside to it. Doctors divorce more than the average, experience also more depression, and also are more prone for drug addiction, especially pharmacies and anesthesiology. But someone would say, well, I really feel how wonderful it would be if my child could be a famous musician entertainer. But then we're seeing, I think even the last few days, there's a lot of discussions about one of the top entertainers in the world, Michael Jackson. One realizes that being very famous draws more attention to whatever you do or whatever you don't do. And of course, when one has such attention that's infamous, it brings great pain to those who are closely associated with such a person. So any kind of profession that you look at, doesn't matter. Right, like my son or daughter to be a teacher. Now it's so much pain, especially in public schools. Teachers have to be very careful because there's so much violence often in the schools. And even in just general corporate world, people get so disturbed when they get stuck, when they get fired, or just the anxiety in there, it can become like a battlefield. So in other words, what we're really saying is, whatever your son or daughter takes to in terms of profession to make you proud and to hopefully that they'll be happy, there's so many issues that are there. The beauty, of course, we would like our children to really to imbibe our spiritual culture, why they find some coping skills in dealing in the world. We would not be very satisfied if our children were highly spiritual but didn't have basic communication skills, coping skills. The parent would feel somewhat like a failure. If it's your son and he gets married, he has no way to take care of a family. If it's your daughter, there's very little clue about also how to be a nurturing mother. But at the same time, we would be also very disappointed if our children excelled materially and threw away their spiritual training. The parents would be devastated. And we as members of the community would also be as we watch these children, you know, grow from year to year. Lord Nityananda, he had these 6-7 sons, and only this last son, Virabhadra, was able to withstand the obeisances of Sri Abhiram Thakur. Sri Abhiram Thakur was a very special saintly entity. The Nitya Siddha had descended with Lord Nityananda as one of the 12 top cowherd boys. And when he would offer obeisances to someone who was not sufficiently spiritual, they would die. And so even Lord Nityananda's own son, only one of them was able to be sufficiently spiritual that he was able to live on with such association of Sri Abhiram. And Lord Nityananda is Balaram. Advaitacharya, he had sons, two of his sons were impersonalists. And who's Advaitacharya? Who's he? He's Mahavishnu. It's unbelievable. And see, the Prabhupada, you know, we almost never talk about his children very much. You don't see in the biography so much information about Prabhupada's children, do you? Because most of his children did not embrace and follow his level of commitment. Srila Prabhupada is a Nitya Siddha Shaktivesha. And we see with many of the great prophets and the great rishis and mahajans and acharyas, we see something sometimes quite similar. Sometimes we see the opposite. And how in the case of Prahlad, who was pure, was born to a family where his father was a great tyrant and, you know, and demonic. So free will is very unusual. And parenting is very amazing at what the outcome can be. And parents can never fully control the outcome. But they can do what their very best in offering their very best. And then the rest is up to, you know, it's up to the child. Our wonderful baby that what Gurungi is holding, and the baby that's in the womb here, and the baby that is under the bridge waiting to see pretty soon. But they have a whole future ahead of them. It's going to have so much to do with the quality of the parents in connection with the environment. The child brings in certain karma. Their karma is also in connection with the parents. In the case, for instance, of Lord Jesus, we see interesting situation of the birth environment, born in a manger, parents were not very astute in society. But there was something very special. Like we look at the different times when Krishna incarnates and the family that is chosen. And we see something extremely impressive and informative. The quality of the devotion. So we as spiritualists would in fact be very happy and would feel very successful if as parents our child is highly spiritual and highly competent, whatever lifestyle that they choose, that they do it not only with expertise, but that they're happy. Just think about it. Would you be happy even knowing that your child is expert in some profession, but is very, very disappointed, unhappy, disturbed, sad about where they work and what life that they've chosen as a professional? No. You can see how you're so concerned about every aspect that has to do with your child. But at the same time, so little of it is really fully in your control. But you can help to guide and bring forth greater potentiality for success by being more successful yourself. Can we actually have very disciplined children if in our own life there's not healthy discipline? It would be very hard. Even if we're healthy disciplined, we still may find that our children don't fully imbibe it, but at least they have a head start, an opportunity. Is it very easy to train up a child to honor family life? To be a good mother, to be a good father? If what they see around them, it's just fragmented family, argument, and where there's a lack of love. Yes, it is possible that that child can rise above those difficulties, but it is going to be more difficult. Living in the material world is hard. It's a struggle, it's a challenge. But we can make it a little easier by how we try to prepare them. And then it's up to that entity and Krishna. And how someone one takes birth, and why they take birth, and when they take birth. Why some child is born in a very wealthy family, some child is born in a very poor family. Why some child is very healthy, why some child is very ill. All of these have to do with that particular entity's experience in this lifetime of what can be used for growth. So what we do want is to try to do our very best as parents to present as much affection and love as we can, to try to help the child make healthy decisions about, you know, his or her career, to honor them in their successes, and to be there for them in their challenges and in failures. We see in the case of Lord Jesus that even though the material circumstances were not very auspicious, even though the kind of life that he had to lead with challenges were quite overwhelming, and even the way he left the planet, you know, was very traumatic. But what was consistent was the love that his mother and father had for him. What was consistent is that that entity who came into the world, this Martyrloka of all of the complexities and stagnations, had some special work to do on behalf of humanity. All children who take birth in the spiritual community, the spiritual parents, have distinctly special work. It's a matter of gradation what that work may ultimately unfold to be. But virtue of the fact that they took birth under such conditions and such environment can never be considered an accident. Now, whether they remain fixed in carrying out that special work, that has a whole lot to do with the quality of sangha that the child experiences, the love and protection in the environment of the family and the institution, the community, along with very awesome prayers. Because material body, material world is a place to forget, easier than it is to remember. It's easy to forget when you're on a mission, but the environment assaults that mission, or the environment is deterrent. Just like, you know, you send your young child here, it's not so easy because the stores are far away. But you live in a neighborhood where the store is down the street. You send your child to the store to purchase something, or you send a child over to someone else's house to get something. But on the way, there's all kinds of distractions. And the kid gets caught up in play and so many other things. Other friends are there calling them away. And so if there's so much activity that's a deterrent, it can become hard for that child to remain aware, cognizant, that they're supposed to go to the store and come back right away and bring back the produce. So as we are sending our children out, because you can't keep the child in the house all the time, or always under your immediate supervision, so we're sending them out with certain knowledge and responsibility. And then the environment is there calling on them in different ways. So we can help them to be very successful, more potentiality for success, if they see that we don't get too distracted by the environment. If we're getting too distracted by our own day-to-day, genuine, but material challenges, it's like sending a direct message to our child. Rising above that is almost an impossibility. It's like sending a message of defeat to our children. But if our children see that we are having a healthy balance, and we are, yes, doing the necessary in maintaining body and soul together, because being in the material world means that genuine physical needs that need to be addressed. But when they see we're doing that, but not at the sake of giving up our spiritual life, then that sends a message to the children, it is possible. You can also do the same. And here we've left a legacy to show you what can be done. Otherwise, like a parent in society who smokes and then tells the child, you know, not to smoke. Who drinks and then tells the child, you know, not to drink. And the message you're sending to the child is, you're not mature enough, you're not old enough to smoke yet or to drink, but later it's okay. Or it's not really such an issue, because after all, mommy and daddy is doing it. Mom and daddy are the heroes of the child's life. And so what your hero does, you naturally emulate it. It naturally becomes a part of your absorption. A hero is doing like this, doing like this. Who can be more of a hero for the child than caring parents? And so as we're the heroes, we impose in that entity's consciousness so much, because we are their providers, their protectors. And of course, we brought them into this world. We see in the case of Srivasa, the core, wonderful story about his son who had even passed while heavy, powerful sadhu sangha was going on with chanting the Lord's name. And he had prepared his child in such a powerful way by allowing that kid to always be in association with other spiritualists, by he and his wife and family members constantly, collectively involving themselves and being focused on the goals of life. And so when this child had passed, Kosivasi didn't say anything at first. He didn't want to disturb the Sangha of devotees. But we can also understand that deep in Srivasa's consciousness was that I have given my son everything that's necessary for him to be successful in this lifetime and for him to be able to go directly to the spiritual world. So he was not in a state of panic. He, as well as his son, were fully aware that they were not the body. They were fully aware of how to live to be able to go directly back, to eternally be involved in animated loving exchanges with the Lord in various leelas and pastimes. And so really, more than it being really actually a sad event, it was more of a time for a special type of celebration. This is when a Vaishnava leaves, we really have more of a mindset of celebration, because that person's bhakti has been secure. We realize there will only be elevation and perhaps even graduation. Even if the person doesn't go directly back to Krishna Loka, to the spiritual kingdom, we realize that by that life that they live, they are so much closer to the ultimate land of pure love. And so there is celebration. Here's some sadness that we don't have a chance to associate the same way. But even Vaishnavas have great pain when someone departs. But it's not pain you never see the person again. Was not pain that life is over and that's it. It's just that now the relationship has shifted. And there may be a time element before you have the dynamic, ongoing personal association with it. And so it's almost like a contradiction of a happiness and victory, joy at the same time. There is a sense of temporary loss. So how wonderful to have a son like Srivasakura's son, who had won all this chance to be in association with Vaishnavas. Father was Vaishnavas, parents were Vaishnavas. Mahaprabhu himself was coming to his home. Bodhisattva was coming. And that one could leave the body with such glory. How proud such son could be of father and parents that afforded him that opportunity. How wonderful the parents could feel that they carried out the full purport of being a parent. It's like when your son or daughter graduates from something. You feel a sense of happiness because they have achieved. And they have gone from one grade to the next, or they've graduated out of university, or they've graduated out of postgraduate studies. Because you share that so much intimacy with your child and love, that his or her success, of course, is your success. But we also forget how much their success is based on our healthy, on us being healthy and successful. How much we're karmically, connected. And how much more Krishna will respond to our prayers if we're sufficiently spiritually aligned. And as we make our prayers for our children, because Vandanam is so powerful, then that prayer will reach with more potency. Chittaketu, also interesting experience with his son. He was in such anxiety, as we remember, because he couldn't have a son. And so he was feeling like his whole life was just totally incomplete. Even though he had so much material power and opulences and so much influence in society. But in his own mind and heart, he felt like a failure. Which reminds us how whatever we have, there's always something that jumps out that can make us very disturbed about what we don't have. Even people who have so much opulence like Chittaketu, fame, wealth, influence, power, but at the same time, he did not have a son. And he felt as if life had cheated him, providence had neglected him, as if God had cursed him. So sometimes people feel this way, those who don't have children. So we're married, but where's our child? Then of course later they get the child and they have other things to be in anxiety about. So we know how he was blessed by such great personality, even in the form of Narada Muni, Angiri Muni, which shows even in parenting that one wants blessings. So we have the samskaras, Gabudan samskara. We want to do things in such a way that we have more guarantee that we have, we have good progeny. And so in this case, he just wanted progeny, period. He wanted to have a son. And by the mercy of the blessings of the sadhus, that he was able to have a son. So obviously, of the wives that he had, none of them could bring him forth a son. And the one wife who brought forth the son became his favorite, and he spent more time associating more with his son, with the wife who brought forth the son. Now his life was so fulfilled. He was so happy. He was so surcharged. He had a little son who looked just like him. Could carry the family tradition. We've all experienced different times when something has made us really, really happy. Then the loss of it makes us that degree sad. Something you really, really like. Something you really attached to. Something that's really become a part of you. You feel so wonderful. But when you lose it, you feel to that degree disappointed. One of the reasons why we understand, the Bhagavad Gita explains why one should not be attached to anything. Overly attached to happiness or distress. Because if we're overly attached to anything, then when it is not there, or is not there the way that we expect it, it becomes so hard to regroup, so hard to go on, so hard to be happy, so hard sometimes to be functional. One should not be impersonal, not be in denial, but we're overly attached to anything other than that which is ultimately eternal, to nothing. We will find some setback and some bewilderment. And so, Siddhakethu, he was like that. He was so eager to have the son, and when he had the son, he was so happy, and now he became so disturbed because the other wives, seeing how Siddhakethu was giving attention fully to the child, to the wife who brought forth the child, now less and less time for them, that they were angry. It engenders certain kind of action to attack or to deal with or eliminate the source of their anger. And so they engaged in a conspiracy and decided the best thing to do is that we take out this child. That things will not be proper, things will not be good for us as long as Siddhakethu is giving all of his time and affection to this child and the child's mother. So they poisoned the kid. Now Siddhakethu was in such anxiety. The emblem of his happiness, the joy of his life, the perfection of his existence for him, having this child. Now the child has been taken away. He lost desire even to live himself. Sometimes people have such a problem with a loss that they have no desire to continue living, because they can't see themselves existing without being connected with that was the source of their joy. And so we know how in this case Siddhakethu benefited a lot, because later his son was brought back to life, and his son began to educate him, to clarify what is really the goal of life. To clarify the power but the illusion in relationship. To help him to readjust his priorities. So Siddhakethu, if you think about it, he was very blessed. He was blessed by some previous karma that he had, this wealth and influence. He was blessed by the sages that they gave him special benediction to be able to have a son. And he was even more so blessed due to the quality of the son that he had. That the son was really a source of his own liberation. Now how proud we would be if our son or daughter is the source of our own spiritual liberation. That is possible. As we work on our own qualities, it also has an influence on those who are karmically connected with us. And has influence on what Krishna allows to happen based on the Krishna available. So, in the case of Lord Jesus, how fortunate that his mother and father were. How painful it was, of course, for them to see the challenges that their own son had to undergo. How fortunate Srivasa's, of course, situation was that he had this son who was able to go back to Godhead and have all of the wonderful association experience with the devotees and did not deviate from that because of healthy community was there sharing, reinforcing, supporting, guiding and protecting. And because of the example of the parents themselves, where the child could see, hey, this works. Look how happy my parents are. Look how absorbed they are. Look how caring. And so the child can then imbibe, yes. I want to continue to be like this. And then last, let me share one other little story of a special son. In the case of Sri Raghunanda Thakur, he was actually an incarnation, an expansion of Nisipa Jumani, avatar. And something very powerful would happen when he would do his puja. This is later in his life. Just kind of mystically, some flowers would appear on the tree to be offered. Many very unusual mystical things would happen to him and around him. But when he was a small boy and had just received a Brahmin initiation, his father once had to go out for some important activity. He didn't have a chance to do the puja that he would normally do. And so he left it up to his son. So normally the mother would prepare the bhoga, do the cooking, and would bring it to the father to place on the altar. And then the father would do the prayers and the arti. And so now father had to go out. They were so regulated. They were so together in service. Not that the mother had to do it all, not that the father did. They were doing it together as a family. And they were offering this as part of their family culture. So, given that they were so spiritual themselves, then they naturally brought forth very, very exceptional spiritual child who would want to be a part of that environment. So they bring this aspect of God that takes birth in the form of Sri Raghunanda at the court. Remember the story of how his first time of trying to offer the food to the deity, he brought the offering, it was given to his mother, mother gave to him, placed it before the deity, started making prayers, ringing the bell. But the deity did not eat from his perspective. He looked and saw the food was still there, still on the plate. And then he requested, and he pleaded, and he begged. Speaking to the deity, this is my first time doing this. Father, give me this responsibility. How disturbed my father would be, seeing that I did not feed you. You did not eat. We see how he understood what was important to his father, the deity puja. He valued it to the same extent. His father was acharya, showing by example. And so the son just very organically, naturally became a part of that experience of engaging in the deity puja. And so the son was very joyful and happy that he could be able to do this service. After all, the father was his hero. The mother was his hero. And he was eager to do what they do. When someone is your hero, you think about them, you want to be like them. You're honored to be able to do things with them and for them. And so Sri Raghunanda, he was very happy that he could do this puja that was so important to his mother and to his father. But when he made the prayers, the food was still, the bhoga was still on the plate. And he prayed very intensely to the Lord in the spirit that my mother and my father, they are so categorically, unequivocally fixed in serving you and pleasing you. And they have given me this chance today to participate in what is so important for them. They have arranged to allow me to share this with them. And I'm having this chance, but I'm failing. I understand how important it is when the child is properly protected and loved, how much that child becomes empowered and becomes more sensitive to not wanting to disappoint, not wanting to fail the parents. No one wants to fail their hero. You want to be like the hero, and you want to be looked upon and thought about nicely. Who's the hero? So, the parents of Sri Raghunanda Thakura, they were his heroes. And therefore, he was very meticulous and conscientious about trying to do this service in the right way. So, the Lord, before Mahārāja Vigraha, seeing how intense that this special servant of his was, and how he did not want to displease his parents, because they were so much giving everything for him and their service to the Lord, and how he did not want to displease the Lord. And so he was begging, "Hey Govinda, please, please, you come. Come and take the food. My mother has so dedicatedly prepared this, and I present it to you, and you're not eating. My father has, with such confidence, given me the chance to do his work, what he normally does. And so, please, do not allow me to disappoint my mother or my father. And please do not allow me to not have the proper devotion for you to take." So he was begging, begging, "Please, please, please, you come and you take." And of course what happened is that Krishna responds to the dedication, intensity, and prayers of his devotees. Correspondingly. Yayatamam prapajam jaitam sari vatajam manabhadite manisya pancha sarvasya. So, here this devotion was so intense by mother, by father, the son was so connected with it, so much not wanting to disappoint any of them, that the Lord didn't want to disappoint him. So then, Krishna, who normally in Nyati Vigraha would take the spiritual aspect of the food, still leave the physical, then took both to please this little boy who was so intensely dedicated to being an integral part of the spiritual culture that the family had imbibed. And so here's the wonderful story of the power of community. This is in the case of Srivas Thakura, in the case of even the Lord Jesus. The power, when there is great devotion with mother and father, even though one's task may be very overwhelming, very complex, difficult, that success will be guaranteed. And that one will definitely be able to return back to the kingdom of God, even with many, many day-to-day challenges and setbacks. Because Krishna has responded, has vowed and proclaimed that everything is resting upon him. That as we honor that, then we allow him to do what he is more than willing to do, to bring us back into his sphere. So in summary, today we had a wonderful opportunity to have this little reflection in samskara with the Kinchana, a way to remind us about the children in the community, those who are here as well as those who are on the way. We mentioned how it is natural that each parent is eager at wanting the best for his, for their son or daughter. But also we all have a duty to analyze, what does that really mean? Does it mean just material success? And even with that, there are a lot of complexities that come along with any kind of material success. Do we just think only of spiritual success? That would be okay if we weren't at the same time in a material body. And if we don't have some basic accommodations materially and emotionally, then even that spiritual success, it will not have longevity. We enhance or maintain genuinely the spiritual success by having other things in place that guarantee that spiritual success can actually be viable. And then we consider, what is our role as community members, as parents, to help to guarantee spiritual success and material care and facilitation. And we see that what is brought especially by the parents, by Sri Sri Vada Dhamara, the Baladev, Sri Bhagavad, the Kavadamiti. In conclusion, we see that particularly what is offered by the quality of the parents, their prayers, their dedication, and their examples, will heighten the potential for the child's spiritual success and graduation. So in the case of Srivasta Kaur, everything was there, everything was established. In the case of Chituketu, he had different desires, but because he was so blessed, his mature desires were fulfilled, then there were disappointments, but later, by the potency of his son, he became a liberated entity himself. And later, of course, went back to Godhead as well. So let us pray that those who are involved in parenting and procreating, that you bring forth children, that you can take care of their physical, emotional, and spiritual needs, that they can be successful, and that they can be so successful that they can do as Sri Raghunamada Kaur, carry out our own culture fully, and as Chittaketu, son, even be the source, you know, source of liberation. Hare Krishna. Any questions or any comments? Anyone here? Yes. Can you bring your mic? Don't look at me.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. We heard the verse that one shouldn't be a parent, send a wife from a guru or teacher unless one can deliver one's dependence from the cycle of birth and death. And I want you to understand that verse in regard to the fact, you know, that Srila Prabhupada's disciple children weren't devotees, and Lord Nityananda and some of his children as well. And just the point that does a parent actually get relieved from the responsibility of the children's sinful reactions or behavior?
Well, just as the parent benefits and enjoys any type of success that the child experiences or encounters. This is the parent, thoughtful parent, very disturbed when there's any failure on behalf of the child. So already, even without going deep into karma, the parent is experiencing whatever is going on, you know, within the child's life. The emphasis that one should not be a parent, one should not be a guru, one is not able to offer liberation, reminds us how grave and how profound that it is to be involved in overseeing someone's life. How serious it is in influencing another person's life. We can never minimize how much we as adults are product of early experiences within our childhood, especially in this life, in previous lives also, but especially in this life. And often it's very hard to walk away from certain pains, certain feelings of abandonment, certain abuses, certain experiences of lack of care, that more than not, most people carry these year after year, and sometimes they carry it, you know, into the next body. So it reminds us, Paul, being in a position where you're having such a significant impact on a person's life as a parent, or, you know, as a spiritual master, that is very, very serious. Look at what happens when someone takes a spiritual master and the spiritual master becomes a deviant or an embarrassment. The person is scarred for life. Now how they deal with those scars and how they recuperate, you know, what kind of resilience they have is important, but the scar is still there. So it is a serious call for those who are to be the caretakers and the stewards to not to take it lightly. Now, is every parent able to offer liberation to their child, the knowledge of it and the guidance for it? No. And therefore, where that is not given, then it means what is being offered to that child is reinforcing that kid's imprisonment in the material world. And what is being transferred to that child's consciousness is not skills for coping and being able to rise above the most mature nature, but a lifestyle and a role model that's allowing the child to think that it's okay to remain a prisoner of his senses. And so to bring someone into an environment just to lock them deeper into incarceration is considered to be a very unfortunate experience. Very unfortunate. And minimizing giving proper care to such a person. Now, even when that's offered, as we're saying, it's still up to the child whether they're taking it. So in these cases, we see that even in some cases where it was offered, it still wasn't fully accepted, at least in that lifetime. But still, the seeds are planted, and some benediction happens because they're in karmic connection, you know, with such a great soul. Any other questions? See, we should also remind ourselves that when there's a pure devotee who takes birth, that person who is impure is karmically connected, of course, with their offspring. And so, in most cases, they will get liberation anyway. Now, why they don't just accept their lifestyle and get it on their own, by their own merit? But between them and Krishna. But Krishna allowed them to come into an environment where one of his true devotees is. And so, you know, they will get liberated anyway. Any other questions? Because we do know, and we'll take his last question. We do know that even if someone winds up being a rascal or procrastinating, that they have some interesting karma credit that allows them to take birth in the environment of parents who are pure. But it keeps reminding us just how amazing the free will is. You have so many things in place, you know, still we can reject it, or we can postpone it. Because in most of these cases of the sons of Nityananda, sons of Advaita, Prabhupada's sons, situations of this nature, as well as the associates of Lord Chaitanya, even remember that they're associates of Lord Chaitanya, who then became deviants, like Ramachandra Puri and others, that, or those associated with other pure devotees, Gopal, Gopal Chakravarti, unhealthy confrontation takes place, but because they were in association with the high level devotees, that also ultimately, they get blessed. You can't come in contact with such high level of potency, spiritual potency, and not be affected by it.
Hare Krishna. I just wanted to take this opportunity to thank the community. There's an African proverb that says it takes a village to raise a child, and I really want to thank my community at the Kanagan Village for helping us and Shatran myself to raise the picture. Gurudev, for your wonderful example of compassion and knowledge and devotion to your spiritual master, and constantly providing a wonderful example to us and to our sons. And so our community, we have so many teachers in our community. Mother Damayanti, who's been teaching him for a couple of years now. Mother Charun, who just started teaching him reading. I had a goal that by 5, he would be reading. And just in a few months, he has a pencil of reading in her. Her animated and very lively way of teaching the children how to read. And all of his godparents and who assist with caretaking, you know, and so it's always someone available to assist and give, you know, guidance. We are also very grateful for that. Mother Karsanisha, his godmother, she's been coming to work with the teaching on learning Sanskrit verses. There's so much love and assistance in the community. I just wanted to thank everyone. And so this feast that we're offering is actually in honor of all of you. And also today we are celebrating the feast for Mother Yashoda's brother who has left his body. So I don't know if she wants to share anything about him. We should all come along together.
We have two Mother Yashodas. Mother Yashoda from Ghana or from... Okay. Okay. So we should make some special prayers on behalf of him today if we go on with the rest of our day. Yashoda, is your older brother or younger brother? He's older than you? Older? Okay. He just passed this week? It was this week he passed? This week? Last week? Okay. We'll find out more about that. Yeah. So, let us continue. We have next few days coming. As we enter into the new year, let's take these days to try to process a lot of things that will ultimately help our children. The Native American Indians, they have this, you know, this parable or this proverb, and they consider something successful if it brings success to the children. See, at the end of the day, okay, now what is the benefit for the children? So often we can use that as a barometer. So we have this plan, that plan, collectively, individually, institutionally, and at the end we should think, okay, now how will this be better for the children? So it can be a way we can reflect as we look at our new year that's coming forth, and we'll have several discussions. I want to give a workshop on the New Year's Eve, so I think some important things for us to address as we come into the new year. And then we have our yearly program that we normally would have at Mother Tony's children's concert. But we'll be having more guests come in. Just heard that some devotees coming out from Detroit, two devotees from Alachua. And there'll be devotees coming for the wedding, a few devotees. So we would not probably have enough room to have the children's concert at Mother Truni. So we'll have it at the Institute House, there's a little bit more space. And then we'll have the feast in the Prasadam Hall. ISKCON found the child, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Sri Prabhupada Ji, Sri Radha Damodara Chalakanjiki.